January the 12th, 2014, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. And we are in Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah chapter 1. Israel's rebellion, not only against the Almighty, the laws of Moses, the laws that the Lord gave Moses to give his people, but rebellion against the Messiah and the prophecies that Isaiah prophesied concerning that. All sinful nation, it says in verse 4, will be the title again today, all sinful nation. Our purpose for studying and preaching through the book of Isaiah is due to Isaiah prophesying so much concerning the destruction of the Jews as well as Jerusalem, Judea, and the remnant of God's people, those Jews that God had appointed unto eternal salvation, and of the virgin birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very important. And also, this points out the justice of God. God being a just God, no sin goes unpunished, no transgressor will be winked at, or his sins. There must be due payment according to the law of God concerning men's sins. And so we'll go through the book of Isaiah, and I would like to go over a few things as we were just kind of highlighting these first few verses last week. I know down through at least verse 9. Want to go back and point out a few things that are more detailed, that shows more scriptures concerning these things. Let's read from verse 1 through verse 9 this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Pray your blessings upon it. It might be beneficial to your people, O Lord, that it might be beneficial to sinners. Lord, that it might, by the working of the Spirit of God, convict them of their sin and bring them to repentance. Lord, the Spirit of God might birth them and make them alive that they may believe unto salvation. and experience the wonderful salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, see themselves as sinners and the Lord Jesus Christ as the only and acceptable Savior. Have mercy upon us today, O Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. And of course, as we told you last week, Isaiah, being a very great prophet among the prophets, having one of the largest books in the Old Testament, is put first before Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And so he is here pointing out the rebellion of the Israelites against God. And not only that, but also prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman Empire. And when he says there, your country is desolate, your cities are burnt with fire, meaning they will be. For they were not at that time yet burnt. He prophesied from the times of Uzziah being king, which I believe Uzziah was the king for 52 years or something like that. And then I think Jotham and Ahaz was kings for 16 years apiece. And then Hezekiah, I think, was like 29 years. That made him prophesying like 116 years, so he didn't prophesy the whole time of Uzziah as king, those 52 years, maybe the last 10 or maybe a little more than that, and then during the two terms of Jotham and Ahaz, and then some part of the time of King Hezekiah, at least down to where the Babylonians came down, or no, it was the Assyrians came down, and when the angel destroyed 185,000 of them, at least to that time, which was, and to the time of Hezekiah's sickness, you know, I think he was 12 years into his king when he became sick and was about to die, and he prayed, and the Lord gave him 15 more years, so at least 12 years of that, he was prophesying over Judah and Israel, or Jerusalem and Judea. So during this time of these different kings, he saw the evils and the wickedness and the rebellion of Israel. And so he begins the book of the prophet Isaiah and says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth." I don't think he's talking to the sky. And I don't think he's talking to the trees. I believe he's talking to the inhabitants of heaven, being the angels, and those of the earth, being men, that the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. Those things that he's talking about there, he could very well be talking about the times of the Messiah when Israel then also rebelled. In John, the first chapter, we see that. And I want to point out these few things to you so that you understand that Isaiah is not necessarily talking to those, even though they apply to them. I believe he's prophesying about the rejection of the Messiah. And in John, the first chapter, verse 10, he says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not." So the same thing that was happening then when they rebelled against the Almighty and against the laws of God, the same thing happens. The Jews do the same thing, and they've always been a rebellious people. Always. Ever since God started the Hebrew people and called them out to be a people by Abraham, they've been a rebellious people. Always have been. And not only were they here in Isaiah's time, but during the Messiah's time even more, by rejecting the true mediator between God and man, the Son of God. He came into his own, and his own received them not. They were still hung up in their own self-righteousness by the keeping of the law. No different than people are today in modern-day churches. Same thing's going on in modern day churches today. They are eat up with their self-righteousness, thinking that their salvation is because of something that they have done or are doing, instead of depending upon the suffering of Christ on the cross and His righteousness being imputed to them. And so He's nourished up the children, and they've rebelled against Him, as it shows there in 1 John. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Now, He's talking about where they get fed. The manger is where they get fed. The ass, his master's crib. Well, that's where he gets fed. Israel got fed in the tabernacle or the temple. When they come to the Lord's house is where they were fed spiritually. And it's no different today. That's the reason the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, see that they approach and do so therefore more often, because this is where you get fed the Word of God by the preaching of the gospel and ministering and worshiping together is where we get our spiritual food. That's why we come to the house of God. So that we can, and I know that the house of God is actually the temple of God, is you, the believer, but we are set aside to assemble ourselves together in worship of the Almighty God, and they forsook that. In Isaiah's time, they forsake it in Christ's time, because why? It was work. They had to work. When they got there, they had to offer sacrifices and do the things that they were supposed to do in the worship of God. And the same goes for today. And the same went during Christ's time. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, I'm going to show you these because it's important to recognize that the same things that were happening in Isaiah's time, Jesus said the same thing about them. In the 13th verse, He said, but woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of God, or you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So not only did they not go in themselves, they hindered other people from going in to worship the Messiah, the true Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then skip down to verse 37 of the same chapter. And He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. They had forsaken God, they had forsaken the Messiah, and they had forsaken the assembly of themselves together the way they were supposed to. And then the Apostle Paul in Acts 13 says the same thing about them. Acts 13, beginning verse 45, he says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, meaning the multitudes that come to hear the gospel preached by Paul and Barnabas, this verse 44, it says, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. These are Gentiles. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So they were doing the same thing in Jesus' time and in the apostles' time as they were doing in Isaiah's time. And I believe Isaiah's prophesying about the times of the Messiah. And Jesus said, you've done the same things. And they were doing the same things. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity and a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They're going away backward, as our nation today have done. They're not even ashamed of their sin, as we'll see further on down, anymore. They don't even consider it to be sin anymore. Why should you be stricken anymore? Isaiah says, what's the use in God beating you and putting all these afflictions upon you when you do not consider the source of them and the reason for you getting a whipping? You're too stupid to realize that you're being punished for your sins. You're being whipped because of your sins, and you don't even know it. What's the need? You're too stupid to know why you're getting beaten. You love the ways of sin so much and the ways of the world so much. You hate the ways of God so much that you refuse to repent. Why would you be stricken anymore? Jeremiah says the same thing in the next book, chapter 5, verse 3. He says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. So even though God has punished them, whipped them because of their turning from Him, they refuse to repent. They refuse to do what's right. They love the evil that they are doing. And the bad thing is that the people of today in America and the modern day churches think that what they're doing is right. They refuse to read the Word of God as it is written, especially the true Word of God, and believe it. They would rather listen to a preacher or listen to the Pope or listen to their priests and cardinals or whatever, be ignorant of the truth and continue in a lie. And therefore they refuse to turn to serve the God of the Scriptures. They refuse to believe in the righteousness of Christ is the only way that they are saved from their sins. They still want to believe that it is because of their own wit and their own good sense or their great faith that they are saved. Ye revolt more and more, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in them, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed nor bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And that was a way of treating wounds. The binding up and the closing of the wound and the binding up and the mollified with ointment. You can read that over there where the... I'm trying to think of his nationality, where they threw him in the ditch. The priest came by and saw him, walked on around him. He had been wounded and beaten up. They went on and left him. You can see there that when the Samaritan came by, he took him and did just this, exactly what it says here. And he closed his wounds, bound him up, and mollified him with ointment. Set him upon his own beast and took him to an inn to be cared for. Psalm 28. Back up a book. In verse 3 says, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. And that's the way Israel was then. That's the way they were during the Messiah's time. It's the way the modern day church is today. Their heart is still evil, though they speak great words with their mouths. Those things that they think are pleasing unto God. It's like God said, I'm sick of your oblations. I'm sick of your sacrifices. sick of these things. They're of no use. But they continue in them anyway, ignorant and stupid. But they continue in their ungodliness. And then in Daniel chapter 9, verse 8, he says, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Daniel understood it. And you remember that this is just after Isaiah was prophesying here about what was going to happen to them. Daniel was one of them that was hauled off to Babylon with Jerusalem and Judea by Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel says here to the Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. We have sinned against your word. And people today don't seem to understand that it's against God's word that they are sinning against. They cannot worship a God that they made up in their minds. They cannot worship and keep commandments that are not commandments of God and think that they are worshiping the God of the Scriptures. And then in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 10, he says, Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them, for every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. You say, man, the whole bunch? That's what he said. There was only a small remnant. A very small remnant. And as I've told you before, that's not confusing. That's what he says there in verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts has left to us a very small remnant. Which means there's not very many of the Lord's people that he has saved and separated. It is the Lord's doing. And these people are evil down to their souls. The soles of their feet to the head, top of their heads. They're sick. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now, a cottage in a vineyard and a, what do they call it, a lodge in a garden of cucumbers was a little place that they built in the garden or in the vineyard to keep birds, thieves, scandals from coming in and stealing the fruit of the garden. And they put a watchman in there, and he would protect and guard the vineyard, or the garden. That was his job. But when the cucumbers had been harvested, and the fruit had been harvested from the vineyard, they left. And it was left desolate. Nobody would be in there, there was nothing to guard. So therefore, they would leave. And that's what he's talking about here, when he says that your country is desolate. Your daughter of Zion is left as a cottage. Now, the daughter of Zion is Jerusalem. He's talking about Jerusalem is left desolate like a cottage in a vineyard once its harvest time has come. Now, he's talking about when the Romans come and destroy them all, kill them all. Look at Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 43. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The Lord prophesied also of what the Romans was going to do to them. I believe Isaiah is prophesying here of what the Romans was going to do to Jerusalem when they utterly destroyed it, left not one stone upon another, killed all the people that were inside, and laid it as a besieged city. The Lord told them the same thing, and in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Look at Romans 9:29. Paul says the same thing concerning this exact prophecy from Isaiah. Romans 9:29. Let's start reading a little before 29. Verse 26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel should be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left unto us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been likened to Gomorrah. And you can find that story, of course, in Genesis 13 is where it was told about what was going to happen. And then Genesis 18 and 19, Genesis 19, verse 24, is where hailfire and brimstone was rained down upon them, and those cities were destroyed because of their sin. And they would not even hide their sin. They were turned backward from the Lord and from the ways of the Lord, even though Lot was there with them, preaching the gospel to them. And the Lord says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. It's the Lord of hosts that leaves the remnant of his people wherever and whenever he so chooses. Salvation is of the Lord, the Bible says, and it is the Lord that leaves the remnant of people according to his own choosing. And in Isaiah's time, there was a very small remnant left among the Israelites. And in Christ's time, there was a very small remnant left of God's people, those few Jews that were saved and believed the gospel, and believed the gospel of the preaching of John the Baptist, and believed the gospel of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the apostles. There was a very small remnant that would be scattered all over the world so that the gospel would be scattered all over the world. And Paul, there in Romans, is quoting the very same scripture about Isaiah prophesying about that small remnant that the Lord of hosts, meaning the Lord of all the heavens, the Lord of all the hosts of the heavens, had left unto us. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah, who were destroyed because of their sin and because of their refusal to repent at the preaching of Lot. And even today in America, there is a very small remnant that is truly preaching the gospel. And I don't care what the people think of these modern-day churches that are preaching another gospel. They are preaching contrary to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate God and his gospel. I don't care how much they sing Amazing Grace or Oh, How I Love Jesus or Just As I Am. They hate God. They hate the God of the Scriptures, and they hate the God that controls salvation. And they want to go about to create their own salvation in their own way. And this is nothing new. Don't be surprised by it. And I'm not preaching another gospel, and I'm not preaching anything against or hating people that are lost in their sins and false teaching. I'm hating the false teaching. I don't hate the people. I have great mourning for them and their stupidity, their ignorance, and their false teachings. I have great mournings because of them leading people down the road to hell, the broad way. Because there's only two ways. There's a narrow way and there's a broad way. And the way that I'm going is not the broad way, and it's not the way of the modern day church. It's the way of the gospel. Jesus called it a narrow way and a straight, difficult gate to go through. That's the only way to go. There's only two ways, two roads that people can travel. You either travel the road of the Scriptures, the road that the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, and the Apostles preached, or you traveling down your own road, the broad road that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So, there's only one way to go to be the right way. And I intend to continue to go that way. And there's been few people down through the centuries that have gone that way and have been hated for it. The Apostle Paul was one of those. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, he said that the world is crucified unto him, and he is crucified unto the world. That means that the world is crucified unto him. All of their ways, all of their evils, all of their covetousness, all of their hatred, all of their false teachings against the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm crucified to those things. And they are crucified unto me. They will have nothing to do with me. They hate me because I preach the things that they hate. I preach and exalt them, and the things that they love, I preach hate of those things. And they hate me for it. I'm dead to them. But he says, they're dead to me also. Because we have two different gospels that we're preaching. And the song that we sang. They've been rich people and they've been poor people. And the song that we sang was sitting was by a poor old man that was converted, who was an evil fellow, John Newton, was turned from his sins and served the living God and wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There are a few down through the ages, and they did not care what the world thought about them once they were converted as the apostle. And I'm afraid that there are people today that call themselves converted, but they refuse to preach the truth of the gospel of Christ, and they refuse to testify of it and to tell people of it because of the persecution that they might receive, and because they're afraid people might hate them or shun them, or whatever. And I fear for their salvation. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He's not talking to Sodom, and he's not talking to Gomorrah. He's calling Judea and Jerusalem Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talking to Judea, as he says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The Lord has spoken. This is the vision he was concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And that's who he's talking to in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offering of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks and the lambs of the goats. I'm tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of your ceremonial religion and your ceremonial worship. You're trying to create your own righteousness by the things that you do and not depend totally and completely upon the righteousness of Christ. People better wake up today and go to preaching the truth. We'll stop there for this morning. In verse 10 there, Isaiah 3:9, if you turn the page, you see the scripture there where he says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. That's what Jerusalem and Judea was doing. That's what Jerusalem and Judea was doing in the times of the Messiah when they rejected him, when he came into his own and his own received them not. And even during the times of the apostles, those false preachers kept preaching, you got to be circumcised and you got to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. They were still preaching Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the Son of God, but they said in order to get to him and in order to get to heaven, you got to keep the law and you got to be circumcised. They were adding to what the apostles preached and what the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist were preaching. And they do the same things today. We'll stop there. Brother Guy, would you lead us? We'll be dismissed.